H910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Donald Trump is preparing to talk to reporters ahead of his rally in Allentown, Pennsylvania today. His campaign continuing to deal with the fallout from a weekend rally at which one comedian referred to Puerto Rico as a floating pile of garbage. There's ABC's Rachel Scott at Mar-a-Lago.
We have reported that the Trump campaign, of course, did select that comedian as well as other speakers to deliver remarks ahead of the former president's address as well. He did not take the opportunity to denounce the comments, but in a statement, his campaign has said that those comments do not reflect the views of the former president or his campaign.
Consumer confidence up as Americans head into Election Day. The Conference Board says its confidence index, which measures Americans' expectations for jobs, income, and business, jumped quite a bit in October from September. Job openings last month, however, tumbled to their lowest level since January of 2021. Labor Department says they're still above pre-pandemic levels. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Congressman Derek Van Orden and a pair of his colleagues are requesting information on the Pure Prairie poultry bankruptcy that left farmers without feed or processing options. According to a press release, the group penned a letter to USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack seeking more information and criticizing the agency over what they say is a lack of oversight. In a statement, Congressman Van Orden said the USDA will answer for the loans and grants given to the company, and the company will answer for where that money went. Two Jackson County healthcare organizations have announced a merger. According to a press release, Black River Memorial Hospital and Crone Clinic will combine and become Black River Health. The merger is scheduled to be finalized on December 30th. In the press release, officials from the healthcare organizations referenced the growing healthcare challenges facing the Chippewa Valley, especially with the loss of two hospitals and a number of clinics earlier this year. They say the merger will allow them to better serve the community. The Duluth City Council has unanimously approved two resolutions to fund the Spirit Mountain Restoration Project. At Monday's meeting, the City Council agreed to match $13 million of state funding for the project. The city is expected to cover about half of that $13 million, and Spirit Mountain will contribute the other half. City officials say the project is still in the design phase, so there's no timeline on when the project could be completed. Much of the infrastructure at Spirit Mountain is 50 years old and in desperate need of renovation. The Duluth Area Pickleball Association held a series of interesting charity games to raise money for breast cancer awareness over the weekend. The event featured glow-in-the-dark pickleball, with games for players of all skill and experience levels. Each participant donated money to the National Breast Cancer Foundation, and over $2,000 was raised, with nearly 100 pickleball players participating in the event. Organizers say pickleball has become a popular sport among patients undergoing radiation treatment. For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks lose to the Celtics. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Bucks were down by 11 with 7 minutes to play, but they couldn't keep up. They lose to the Celtics 119-108 in Boston. The road trip continues in Memphis Thursday night. Packers working on a game plan for the Lions. The NFL Network's Ian Rappaport on Jordan Love's groin injury.
Sources say the MRI came back relatively clean for Jordan Love. It's basically just a groin strain, which is the kind of thing where he's going to get treatment. He's already been getting treatment today, going to get treatment all week.
Matt LaFleur on that report.
So I don't know where that information comes from, quite frankly. And I'm surprised it's coming. I hope it's not coming from inside our building.
College football, the Badgers play the Hawkeyes in Iowa. Saturday night, kickoff at 6:30.
Not a whole lot of time, right? You have a night game. I mean, it turns over pretty quick, and now we got to move on. That was probably the biggest message on Sunday, is our ability to kind of regroup and reload, because we got to get rolling.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy today with a high in the low to mid 70s this afternoon. The wind out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, scattered showers, thunder showers, 55. Tomorrow, scattered showers and thunderstorms with falling temperatures. We're going to drop into the upper 40s by late tomorrow afternoon. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up.
hold my hand?
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Todd Alba joins us. Hey, Todd.
We're here in front of the Bonham Theater to talk entertainment. Todd forgot his battery pack. We are running off of Todd's truck engine.
I don't want to rub salt in the wound, but if your travel budget got cut, I'm just wondering if it coincided. All of a sudden, I got like a 10 grand a week per diem. I don't know if that is related.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
Next, I've got Insha Raman. We're going to talk about crime, public safety, policing, and immigration, and what voters in Wisconsin really want.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our home, our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. And yes, you can actually watch us live if that is a thing that you're interested in.
You can, way to sell it, Jane.
You can watch us on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We do live stream there. You can also leave comments if you're watching on the live stream. So we highly encourage that as well. All kinds of things coming up for you on the show today. Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio across the Civic Media Network from 6 to 8 a.m. is going to be joining us after the 10:30 news. We're going to talk a little bit about Derek Van Orden. And the farm bill.
Oh, man, he's such a good
person. He had a really great conversation with Brad Paff.
Yes.
During his show this morning. And I want to talk a little bit about that and what Brad has been running into when he's been knocking on doors in some parts of the state and what he's hearing. I think it's interesting.
If you did miss that conversation this morning, you can always go to civicmedia.us, click the shows tab, and you can download that interview, which was the second hour of today's show. And then while you're there, just subscribe to the show as a podcast.
Absolutely. It's super easy.
Yeah.
Super easy. And then after the 11 o'clock news, she is back. Mary Hayes, who's the chair of the Shequamagon Democrats, and that's for Bayfield and Ashland counties, is going to join us. Of course, Tom Tiffany is running for re-election up there. Mm-hmm. And seemingly out of nowhere, a couple of months ago, he decided he wants the Apostle Island to be a national park.
Yeah, and I remember when we first talked about it, the both of us were like, yay?
This seems like a good thing. Why would you do that?
Where's that giant shoe that's going to drop right on our heads?
So we will talk a little bit more about what could potentially be Mr. Tiffany's motivations for that and how people are reacting up in those areas. And not everyone is happy with the suggestion. Mm-mm. And then from 11:30... You can't give yourself a nickname. That's not how nicknames work.
No. Are we wrong, Calvin? You can't give yourself a nickname.
He's got to throw his
headphones on. He's not even paying attention to us. He doesn't even care about us anymore.
As the king of nicknames.
What? Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Of receiving nicknames.
There you go.
Yeah, you can't give them to yourself. That's kind of lame.
Yeah, you don't self-identify as, Sweet Kale B it is given to you.
Yeah.
But I think it's because this person has no friends.
Aww.
I know, and therefore has had to give himself a nickname. So we're going to take your suggestions for other potential FCC-friendly nicknames for this particular person.
And have you ever received a nickname or tried to give yourself a nickname? Let us know too.
What are your nicknames?
Yeah, what are your nicknames?
A reminder also, 7 days. We are 7 days away, 1 week away from the presidential election, and we're going to have special election coverage that night. I will be there. Greg's going to be there. Pete Schwab is going to be there. Pretty much all of us will be there. The Civic Media hosts, reporters, and guests, election night. starts at 6 p.m. and it will run all through the evening. Mm-hmm. Pete Schwabba and me going to kick things off from 6 to 8 p.m., kind of a little transition as we get into the more serious reporter people.
I'll be on the side just eating chips going, you guys are great.
Keep doing what you're doing.
Hey, you guys are funny.
Keep doing what you're doing. We have talked a lot about this.
Yeah.
Because I think it's really important. And I think a lot of people still do not understand what's going on with this yet another constitutional amendment on our ballot. So in doing a little more research about this, surprise, surprise, 8 additional states, including Wisconsin, are going to be voting on this provision. Here in Wisconsin, they will change one word that every U.S. citizen can vote to only U.S. citizens can vote. Mm-hmm. And this same measure now is going to be on 9 states. And isn't it interesting? National advocacy group Americans for Citizen Voting has enlisted the American Legislative Exchange Council to push these measures, otherwise known as ALEC.
That's where I've heard of them. ALEC, the nonprofit organization that's interested in liberty.
They're just all about freedom, Greg. Mm-hmm. They're just all about freedom.
And before you go blowing the horns on us saying, well, don't you want to keep elections safe? Absolutely.
Of course.
And they are safe. They're very safe. But this is not necessary because there's already something in our laws which states that only American citizens can vote in elections in Wisconsin. This isn't necessary.
No, it's not.
This is not necessary. At all.
Just like the last two that we managed to defeat in August.
And the two before that passed weren't necessary as well.
Exactly.
And this is not to, I mean, of course, it's to, you know, we want to make sure that people who are not citizens shouldn't vote, but there are plenty of mechanisms, safeguards, plans in place to protect our votes, our
checks
ballots
and balances.
But this has a more damaging effect on us, the voters, because then all of a sudden it doesn't provide safeguards. It provides more hurdles.
Yes. And the opportunity for them again to narrow the definition of who only a citizen is.
Yeah.
Which, in my estimation, is the whole point.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked also before about how Assembly Speaker Popcorn King Robin Voss has been very quiet about this.
So many conservatives.
Quiet. Just haven't heard a peep from anybody. Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, essentially the legal arm of the Wisconsin Republican Party.
Yeah.
They're not. Where's their endorsement for this? It's almost like they all came out and endorsed the two that were defeated last time. And maybe they're thinking, maybe I shouldn't say anything about this.
Yeah. Because as I put it very bluntly, their opinions are garbage. So it didn't help last time, and it might not help this time.
We do have one Republican, Chris Kapenga.
Oh, boy.
Has come out and said this on Twitter. After 3+ years of open borders and millions of illegals and criminals pouring into our country, I strongly encourage you to vote November 5th in addition to national, state, and local races. You can vote yes or no on whether only U.S. citizens should decide elections in Wisconsin. Chris, I got a little heads up for you. That's already the case. That is already the situation. Only U.S. citizens can vote in our elections. So this is a solution in search of yet another problem.
And the way he wrote that tweet was just as confusing as the way they write those constitutional amendments.
It makes it sound like it's wide open and anyone can vote in our elections.
I would say, folks, by the context clues that the good man from,
Waukesha.
Waukesha, of course. From Waukesha gave us, the context clues say he's going to vote yes, which means if you care about elections, election safety, and providing less hurdles, vote no.
Vote no.
And we will put, once again, the League of Wisconsin Women's Voters of Wisconsin, the League of Women's Voters Wisconsin, thank you, on our website, their toolbox, which gives you the reasons why and how this will create I don't like this phrase, but a slippery slope for them to provide more and more hurdles.
Yes.
It started with voter ID.
Yes.
And now this, and what's next? And then what's next? And then what do you have to do to prove you can vote?
Well, I just feel that they have a certain group of people, several groups of people, I think, that they would prefer not have the ability to vote. I don't know, like women and
yes.
young people and Democrats.
Yeah.
Just in general.
Well, let's just get it back to the way, though. Like, these guys are all about the 1776 and 1790. Let's just say if you just, you're a white dude and you can provide that you have a mortgage, you get to vote. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. Come on down, cast your ballot. What could go wrong?
We're also in the show notes going to include this article I found from Wisconsin EDU, from Law, Wisconsin EDU. Again, this just came across when I was surfing for things yesterday. Wisconsin is not the only one. Now there are eight other states that have similar measures, similar constitutional amendments on this ballot that's being pushed by ALEC.
And ALEC is also the one who helps write laws for other states too. When you see generic laws being pushed in state houses that their language is almost the same,
yes.
it's usually ALEC behind them. Lobbyists putting pressure on lawmakers to push through these pieces of legislation, then all of a sudden, as you like, oh, it's in nine states? Why
would that be?
Did nine separate groups of people all of a sudden have the same thought patterns? No.
No.
Because Al came knocking on the door saying, pass this. They said, okay. And
pretty
that's
much.
It.
Yeah, that is pretty much it. And, gee, it would be nice if our lawmakers actually wrote the actual laws.
Yeah.
But instead, in many instances, it seems like they come from groups like this.
Yeah.
Who are, here's what we wrote up for you. We think this would be really great. Now, again, now go introduce this and get it passed.
Jane, okay, I've told you once, I've told you 1,000 times. The legislators in Wisconsin, in Madison, they're busy.
I know.
2 months out of the year. They are on month 8 of their break. Talk to them in January if they're around. But I really wish you would respect their time off.
Don't pester them while they're off.
Thank you.
Or you could call their offices.
Oh, that's true as well.
And just leave a nice message.
A nice message. True. Very
always.
Nice.
Be
always.
Polite. But it's worth reminding, in Ohio, for instance, 0.0005% of ballots cast in the 2020 election included possible instances of voter fraud.
A smidge, maybe.
A scooch.
A pinch.
A sk. It's not even a full scooch.
It's a meh.
This is a solution in search of a problem.
And they're painting it with the brush of patriotism.
So share what you know.
Mm-hmm.
If you're standing in line at the polls and you strike up a conversation,
yeah,
maybe bring up the constitutional amendment, or if someone asks you whether or not they should vote yes or no on it. I voted early on Friday. I voted no.
I voted, wrong side. I voted yesterday, and I voted no. And by the way, congratulations, big ups to Kenosha clerk's office for just smooth, 10 minutes in and out.
Sweet.
Yeah, it was great. So
go vote early.
Go vote early.
Go vote early.
Thank the people who are there.
Absolutely. Coming up next, we're going to tell you if you have an absentee ballot, what you can do with it.
Mm-hmm.
In a good way.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Stay
take
with
your
us.
Ballot.
Take your ballot. No. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Mayer on air across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
It's time to get out the truth about Eric Hovde. Hovde made his money the old-fashioned way. He inherited it. How can he relate or make decisions for us? Now he's the CEO of a billion-dollar bank in California and a huge landlord. With people like Eric Hovde, the rich pay less, and we pay the price. I'm not a political person. I'm a mom. I would never vote for a person like Eric Hovde.
Paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together Action, abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965, following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 10:30 news, Pat Quitlow will be here from Up North News Radio. Stick around for that. Going to be talking about a number of things, including Derek Van Orden and the Farm Bill, also Brad Paff and some of his experiences as he has been knocking on doors. And I understand Pat also has thoughts about the rally at Madison Square Garden.
Oh, yeah. He had some thoughts.
He had some thoughts.
We had some thoughts together. It was lots of, it was thoughtful.
Many thoughtfulness. Right now, though, there is an article in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from Hope Carnop that says, here's how you can return your absentee ballot instead of mailing it. Hope says, if you still have an absentee ballot in Wisconsin, it's a good idea to find a different way of returning it. Rather than sending it back in the mail, the Postal Service recommends getting those absentee ballots in at least a week before Election Day. So that would be today.
Yes.
Get it in today. If you have an absentee ballot, get it in today if you're going to mail it. But if you miss the deadline, and you're worried, say, about the ballot getting the mail getting there in time, you can bring it to your polling place on Election Day. Or at your community central count location. You can also put it in a drop box. You can drop it off at your clerk's office or even bring it to an early voting location.
Yeah. The reason why we're being very, very cautious with the mail is because Louis DeJoy is still in charge of the United States Postal Service.
Yes, he is.
If you have any clue on how people feel about him, just talk to Mark Pocan. He's very, very vocal about his distrust and dislike for that man. And during 2020, he was doing his best to slow the mail down, specifically with regard to to early ballots.
Yep.
Mail-in ballots.
Mail-in ballots.
And so it's best to get in by today. If you can't, as Jane says, find another delivery system. You have to drop it off.
Yes.
But maybe try to do it in person at a designated location just to make sure.
Just to make sure. Again, you can take it to your polling place on November 5th, so a week from today. Mm-hmm. If you have an absentee ballot and you don't get in the mail, you can take it to your polling place next Tuesday. You can put it in a drop box. You can take it to your community's central count location. You can also drop it off at your clerk's office or, again, take it to an early voting location. And if you live in Milwaukee County, there's like 10 different locations. So there's at least there's options.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, that I thought was pretty great after I cast my ballot on Friday, and I did it at the Tippecanoe Library on Howell Avenue, and it took about 30 minutes, 35 minutes, but I checked it last night. Go to myvote.wi.gov, and there is a track my ballot feature.
Yep.
So it listed everything that happened on Friday, that I requested the ballot, that I got the ballot, that I filled out the ballot and submitted the ballot. So now I know it's there. It's there waiting to be counted.
Yesterday for me, I will probably track mine today later.
Just to make sure.
Just to make sure. Plus it's kind of fun. I was in yesterday. I told you before we got on the show, I think I was in there for 10 minutes.
That was quick.
It was still very busy, but Kenosha has a machine going. Like you, four windows to get your envelope, get right to the ballots. They give you the ballots. They explain to you, vote, done, out the door. It's great.
It is great. It really is. So if you are not sure about where you can cast an early ballot, go to myvote.wi.gov. Go to civicmedia.us/vote. We have all kinds of information on our civic media website as far as other stories about voting, other stories about just the election in general. It's really a great resource. And we do have news people now all over the state of Wisconsin. So if you sign up for our civic media newsletter, it's actually curated for where you live.
And that's great.
It is great. That's so we're great. Talking about local sports team coverage and things like that, that a lot of places just don't provide anymore.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot. They don't even have the regional newspapers anymore. So this is a very good resource curated by people who are living in those areas.
Yes.
And it's great. Greg on the live stream said, took our absentee ballots down to City Hall last week, checked in, recorded, done.
Boom.
Good job, Greg.
Good job, Greg. Excellent. Yeah, it's just, again, we want to make sure everyone's vote gets counted.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very, very important election.
Yep. This is not a, make sure if you're voting this way, make sure you do. It's all people. I don't care who you're voting for. I want your ballot.
Your vote counts.
Your vote counts.
This is our right, and it's a privilege,
and
it's a right for which many people around the world would like to have.
Yeah.
And I would love to see Wisconsin beat the snot out of Minnesota as far as turnout is concerned.
You know,
just because I'm peevish that way.
I am tired of Minnesota and all their awesomeness. And besides Minnesota, they should call it Minnipop, whatever. If you live in Minnesota, you get that joke. I would love to. And I think we're already seeing a huge turnout in early voting. The numbers on every state is.
Was it crowded where you were yesterday? You and I were there like at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, which is a little bit different.
It wasn't crowded, but it wasn't not busy. It just moved so quickly. And so like everyone knew what they were doing and everyone, you know, it was just very well run at the Kenosha Municipal Building. But I mean, the numbers are showing that people are interested and
fired up.
Yep.
They're firing up. 1 week to go. Again, the recommendation, if you have an absentee ballot, you should get it in the mail today.
Yeah.
And if you're not able to do that, take it to your polling place next Tuesday, Election Day, your community central count location, put it in a drop box, drop it off at your clerk's office, or take it to an early voting location. We will link this article in our show notes as well. That's in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from Hope Carnop. Yeah. News is coming up next, and then Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio will be here. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast, statewide, countrywide, global on the app, Civic Media Radio Network.
That's why I say that it ain't necessarily. It ain't no necessarily. It ain't. Ain't necessarily so.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. A group of truckers who participated in the 5th annual Barron County Truck Show in September have donated the proceeds of the event to a Rice Lake family in need. The group reportedly gave a $65,000 check to the Helstad family to help pay for the medical expenses of their 8-year-old daughter, Blair, who has been hospitalized in Madison for months. Blair was diagnosed with febrile infection-related epilepsy syndrome and has struggled with difficult symptoms. The family thanked the truckers for their overwhelming generosity. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has announced a new invasive species detected in the Chippewa and Black Rivers. According to a press release, DNR staff started to receive reports of a suspected invasive carp on the lower Chippewa River in Eau Claire and later discovered that the invasive silver carp had migrated to the area. Officials are now sampling tributaries to the lower Chippewa River to determine if the invasive carp has spread to any other areas. They believe the fish migrated during high water levels in early summer. A pedestrian was hospitalized following a police-involved accident on Monday afternoon. According to the Minnesota State Patrol, the accident involved the Duluth police officer and the pedestrian. The officer was driving on 2nd Street and went to turn onto 6th Avenue East when she hit a 47-year-old woman who was walking at around 1:10 p.m. The woman was taken to the hospital for treatment with minor injuries. Due to the involvement of a Duluth police officer in the accident, the Minnesota State Patrol is conducting the investigation. The Duluth Entertainment Convention Center hosted the Great Lakes Outdoor Summit on Friday. The summit brings in businesses, conservation advocates, and residents to connect and build a community that seeks to preserve the environment and benefit everyone in the area. Over 40 organizations attended the summit and held engagement sessions that covered topics like climate change, outdoor advocacy, and solutions for accessibility. Organizers say their hope is people will return for future sessions to keep those conversations going. For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. Matthew Perry died over a year ago, but the story is still very much in the news. Variety reports that Perry's family is taking legal action against the doctors and those who supplied him with ketamine. Perry's mother and stepfather and 3 siblings appeared on the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and discussed the pending 2025 trial against 2 of the parties that supplied the drugs to Perry. Charges were brought after a joint LAPD-DEA investigation into Perry's death. What could possibly be more fun than a Timothée Chalamet look-alike contest in New York City? How about Timothée Chalamet actually crashing the party? The actor showed up incognito at first to a sea of young men who looked similar and surprised everybody when he removed sunglasses and a mask, then posed for selfies with contestants. The contest was promoted by the use of flyers over the last few weeks. The winner was to receive a $50 prize. Seems kind of lame. In case you're wondering, the actual Timothée Chalamet took 3rd place. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Summer is here today, with unseasonable highs reaching those mid-70s alongside a gusty southeast wind. This is all ahead of wet weather sitting on our back doorstep. In fact, showers and some storms move in overnight and throughout tomorrow. We could see some soaking rain amounts of over an inch. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 58.
My name is Anton Moore. Around here, we have hardworking people that just need a break. Whether it's investing in small businesses or making housing affordable, Vice President Harris gets it.
Kamala Harris is making sure black men have the tools to build generational wealth. She'll put a policy in place that gives 1 million forgivable loans to help entrepreneurs, including black entrepreneurs, start their own businesses. She also plans to give $25,000 in down payment assistance for first-time homeowners and crack down on racial bias in home appraisals. Harris's plan will help black men own more assets so we can build long-term wealth.
This is what an investment in my community looks like. We're trying to build generational wealth. No get-rich-quick schemes, no scams, no one-time check, none of that. Vice President Harris got our back. I'll be there on November 5th. Will you be there?
I'm Kamala Harris, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Harris for President.
Chihuahua.
On the next Nightlight, we share a teaser for the new show, Wabino Volunteer Fire. Tim McCormick from the Harley-Davidson Museum joins to talk the 115th anniversary and Wisconsin-based comedian, Dobie Maxwell.
Nightlight with Pete Chihuahua. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Where to
Good morning. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, and the Board Lord coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment. Stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform. The Jabba the Musk continues to actively ruin. We're delighted to be joined by our friend and colleague, Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio. Good morning, Pat. How you doing?
Hey, good morning. I'm fine, thank you. How are things down there?
They're good. We are all going to be in Madison, I think, next Tuesday, correct?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
So we're going to have a...
And hopefully with better luck than the last time we got everybody together when I think 105% of the staff got COVID. So we're going to be a lot better this time.
Yes, definitely. But we are going to have a cast of thousands on hand for our election coverage, which is going to start at 6 p.m. next Tuesday, all across the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Greg.
Are you Greg?
Pete Schwabba.
Thank you. Pete Schwabba and I will be kicking things off at 6, and then I know Pat's going to be there, and Todd's going to be there, and we're going to have great coverage for you. We have reporters all over the state, some who will be checking in from campaign headquarters too, right, Pat?
Yes. I mean, people scattered. I just looked at the list. Both hither and yon will be covered by our reporters.
We're going to be all over the place. So I hope you can join us next Tuesday night from starting at 6 p.m. And it's probably going to go late. So I highly doubt.
By late, we mean really early in the morning. Or maybe early the next week. Yeah. You know, it's don't make other plans.
Well, it's unlikely that we're going to know the results by the time we go to bed on Tuesday night.
And I'm glad you said that. I think it's so important to set expectations because we have been, I don't know, spoiled, I guess, to assume that most elections are settled, you know, maybe before midnight at the very latest. But as we've become an increasingly divided country, as some of our metro areas grow larger and it takes more time to count the ballots, it is far better to set expectations, realistic expectations on when all of the votes are counted, all of the votes, and not to be fooled when people do things like, you know, declare victory long before the votes are counted as a way to then claim that there was some kind of fraud. Something I would have thought unimaginable by an American president or presidential candidate until kind of recently.
Yeah, I hear that. And it's important to remember also that we had the opportunity to allow our election clerks to start counting all the absentee ballots one day early, and that got killed in the Wisconsin State Senate. So you can thank Devin Lemahue and that group for killing it there, because otherwise they could have gotten a jump on things. They could have started at 7 a.m. on Monday for all the ballots that had been received early from in-person voting and then all the mail-in ballots as well. So if you hear,
yeah, there was no good reason not to do it other than they wanted to keep that talking point alive, which is a heck of a way to govern. You govern by talking points with that bill. You govern by talking points by killing the border bill. Endless campaigning. I guess some people are just addicted to it. The rest of us would actually like smart policy.
Well, but they want as you said, Pat, they want the opportunity to screech that there's a ballot dump. There's a ballot dump in Milwaukee.
Right.
That's because they have to do it this way because of the Republicans in the Senate, essentially.
Exactly.
I think we're getting that out. I think it's important just to put it in your mind. Donald Trump, J.D. Vance, and all their people are going to declare victory early. They're going to declare victory from whether the East Coast closes to the West Coast. They're going to do it even earlier than they did last time. That's happening. Be prepared. They're going to scream about ballot dumps. Be prepared for all that. So when it happens, you can either talk about it with your friends, answer those questions, listen to us, because we're getting good information from smart people and giving it to you, or just do yourself a favor that night. When you hear that, just go, it's fine. The process is moving.
Yes.
It's good.
Trust the process.
The
reason they can do that, the reason that they can pull it off with some illusion of credibility is that the earlier votes that get counted from the smaller communities are quite often Republican-leaning.
Yes.
And so there is that, it's now called a red mirage, where after, you know, the first couple of hours after the polls close, the Republican candidate is well ahead in some races. But as you count all of the votes, including in urban areas that are larger and it takes longer, and then, like you said, Jane, those counts don't come until the middle of the night because they're not allowed to start processing the absentee ballots early. That's how you get this conspiratorial middle of the night stuff. So, yes, election night, you will see races where, say, Eric Hovde almost looks to have a comfortable lead in the beginning. But the beginning means nothing here. Much. I don't normally like the sports analogies, but again, in this case, it's only the final score that matters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just be patient.
Be patient, yeah. And as Greg said too, prepare yourself because that is going to happen.
Yeah,
I firmly expect, you know, the early declaration of victory, the screeching about ballot dumps. That's all going to happen. I think that unfortunately now is just kind of baked in. As one side's excuse.
It's going to be a couple of election processes as far as at least presidential, where you're going to see, I think, the GOP kind of simmer down. It's going to take a while, and I think it will happen one day where they'll be like, all right, is it okay to say we just accept the results now? Can I not get primaried for saying that? Thank you.
I don't know. It might be a while. I mean, these are the same folks who, if they spend $1 extra, you know, even if it's to for their own district, you know, to increase broadband access or help schools or whatever, now suddenly they're rhinos, you know, tax and spenders, because they have made it impossible to actually do something responsible without the threat of being primaried.
We've actually, Jane and I realized that the term rhino is gone now. When Sean Riley came out and endorsing Kamala Harris, he didn't even get called a rhino. He just got called a liberal. Brian Shimmy was like, he's a liberal. Like, oh, mm-hmm. So you don't even get to be a Ryan. You don't even get to enjoy that stage anymore.
Now,
you
go now, right, you're immediately.
You go from
instant
supporter.
Promotion. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. You're either a endorsing or you're nothing.
Or you're nothing. Well, again, it's you're all in or you're not in at all.
Yeah.
You're all in That's for right. him or you're not in at all. That's just the way it is. If you're
there is no dreamy space in the middle. It's just all woke. You go right to woke.
If you're just joining us, Pat Kreitlow is our guest. You can hear him in the morning from 6 to 8 a.m. with Up North News Radio. He's got the early shift. I heard one of your guests, actually, I heard several of your guests this morning, Pat, when I was driving in, and you were talking to Hans Breitenmiller.
Breitenmoser.
Breitenmoser. Mm-hmm. Sorry about that, Hans. About Derek Van Orden and the farm bill. And so what is the chatter going on that Hans is hearing?
Well, it's not so much chatter as it is just a statement of fact that Derek Van Orden had a chance to make the most of a plum assignment on the House Agriculture Committee. Those are highly coveted spots. We used to have, you know, Steve Gunderson from that same third district who represented Wisconsin so ably. And it wasn't, yes, he was a Republican, but he was there for dairy farming in Wisconsin. And Derek Van Orden had his chance to do that, to prove that he was going to stand with farming in Wisconsin. And instead, well, we know how he has spent the past 2 years, but he's done nothing to actually speak up for farm families in Wisconsin. I will say he has taken a lot of farm tours because local TV crews love that stuff. Oh my gosh, they still in the throes of an election, they eat it up. They just talk. Derek Van Orden toured a farm today and say nothing about the farm bill being a year late, nothing about the things that he hasn't fought for, nothing about the things that his party has done to make the farm bill late and to make things tougher for Wisconsin farmers. And that's why he does it.
And is Rebecca Cook getting the same kind of love from those television stations? She grew up on a farm, didn't she?
She did. And she too will get coverage again for what I would call the field trips. And it was one of those things that made me a little crazy, you know, anchoring at stations like these, that we wanted to always go a little deeper. But, you know, those consultants really don't like when newsrooms do a lot of news.
Of news, so, yes, exactly.
You know, just bring back the pretty pictures. And, you know, so farm tours, you can show cows, Jane.
Oh,
you can show cows.
We love the visuals.
Can I, Can I tell you my favorite farm news blooper from Channel 13? And I won't say her name. God love. She's such a sweet, sweet young lady. But she was city girl through and through. And she's doing a stand-up in a field. The stalks are quite high. And she points out how these corns will soon be ready for harvest. And these things aren't checked before they go on the air. They should be. I've got more stories like that. But when it came up, these corns are almost ready to harvest. You could hear in the control room, you could hear in 12 counties across Western Wisconsin, these corns. It was, and she was so embarrassed.
Oh, that poor kid.
This is why. This is life in a small market TV station.
Well, we've talked about this before. You have to go start somewhere so you can make some mistakes like that.
That's part of it.
That's part of growing as a professional. Gene from Eau Claire is on the line joining us. Good morning, Gene. Thank you for calling in. What do you want to say?
Well, good morning, and I want to speak with Mr. Kreitlow. I've noticed, and I have been keeping track and documenting all of the coverage that Van Orden seeks out himself. Even before he ran, he was showing up at meetings with the Republicans, sitting at their table, and he was already in office. So he had his face out there. This guy is a real good con man. I've never seen it in my life. And I've called the station and said, he was even in Altoona where they have a huge trailer park, and they have some water issues there. Oh, and he was going to fix those water issues. They took a picture of him coming out of this building, and he was going to fix it. And I called up and said, are you going to do any follow-up on this? Because we're very interested in this. I have family that live there. And it's like, they didn't know what to say. I think they take pictures and send them the sound bites, and they put it on. That's the way I feel. But anyway, thank you so much for addressing this.
Gene, I know the exact story you're talking about. I saw that story too at the trailer park in Altoona, and I was just waiting. I was waiting because I knew I could find it in 8 seconds on a Google search. But the anchor, neither the anchor nor reporter made mention when he promised to do something for the water, never made mention that Republicans paid for a bill or passed a bill,
yep,
voted for a bill that would have cut funding for water programs like that.
Never mentioned it. But had they done that, he would have just yelled at them.
He would have said, oh, there's the liberal media again. Yeah.
As we know from his interaction with Senate pages or,
he's a bully.
Reporters, specifically women reporters, or, the farmers that he claims to care about. He has no problem dressing them down with aggressive language.
He knows how to work the refs, and I call it that because it works. Witness the Washington Post, the Los Angeles Times, and all of the other examples where media outlets pull their punches in just giving straight factual information, which is what makes things like Up North News and Civic Media and other outlets so necessary. The Wisconsin Examiner, another great example of where you're going to get a more comprehensive story about each of these, and not the places that consultants have pretty much bled dry the news value of them.
That's such a good point, Pat. Yeah. And I am so proud of Civic Media because I think we are filling the role that so many of these legacy media stations used to actually do, and they stopped doing it about, 10 years ago.
Oh, at least. And it's hard to see, especially when you still have some friends in the business. You understand what it is that they're going through, and it really does make it easier for somebody like me and now you just now to toot our own horn, because we've got to get that word out there that there are places where you can hear more of the story. I'm not saying that what some of these outlets are doing is wrong. It's just not as full as it should be.
Absolutely. We're going to continue our conversation with Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
It's quiz time. Here's your first question. Which senator joined the extreme left in Washington, D.C. to send COVID relief checks to prisoners, including the Boston Marathon bomber? Answer, Tammy Baldwin. Who backed puberty blockers and sex change surgeries for minor children in Wisconsin? Once again, Tammy Baldwin. Next question. Which senator even supported castration and mastectomies for minors? Time's up. It does sound crazy. But that was Tammy Baldwin again. Over and over, Baldwin has sided with the extreme left in D.C. Baldwin is for they, them, not you. And now for our final answer. It's time to replace Tammy Baldwin. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Either Donald Trump or Kamala Harris is going to win this race. Don't be the person saying, I agree with Kamala Harris on 80%, but I was really ticked off about X. And I wanted to send her a message, so I didn't vote or I voted for someone else. And then you get Trump, and people are going to say, you can't have a national abortion ban. They have to listen to us. We're the people. It'll be too late. Your vote is powerful. Do not waste it.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Mock, and Calviente on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you are watching on the live stream for the chair dancing on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. Our guest is Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio. You can catch him from 6 to 8 a.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network. Pat, I know you had Brad Paff on this morning on your show, and he was talking about knocking doors and some of the things he's been hearing knocking doors from Republicans.
Yeah. What you're hearing is a pendulum swinging. And there are cycles, not every one of them, but there are cycles where the voters look at one party or the other and they say, I think you need a timeout. And that's what happened to Republicans in 06 and 08. Excuse me a minute. I just got to give a little cough.
We all do that. No worries.
That was professional. He muted.
He muted, and then he right away, again, regretted dumping the last of the coffee pot out and realized he got a little of the coffee grounds in there. So he says through watery eyes that, he saw that in 06 and 08, Republicans were putting a timeout. I know full well that in 2010, voters put Democrats in a timeout because they thought that too much had been done, at the tail end of the Great Recession. And what you're hearing, I believe, out there, and we'll be seeing next week, is essentially the voters, including more Republican voters than ever before, saying, you need to be in a timeout. I'm still a Republican, they'll say. I'm still conservative, but not with these folks. We'll do it next time. A lot of people voted for me in 06, but when it came time to be 2010, they're like, yeah, I know I said I was a Republican that would support you. Now I'm a Republican who's going to support Republicans. It's very natural.
Yeah. Well, we have an ad. We have a political ad. It's only for some reason, Pat, been airing on this show. I'm not quite sure why that is, but I want to reassure people that this is a completely real and totally legitimate ad from a super PAC. And it features a voter named Betty. Let's take a listen to that that super legitimate, completely real ad from this super PAC.
And now a message from a Wisconsin voter.
Yeah, hi, this is Betty from Rhinelander. I've been voting for the same party all my life. It's been okay, I guess. Now, my parents taught me to be patient. All things come to those who wait. But for too long now, it seems like some politicians in Wisconsin think their job is to make sure nothing gets done. What the heck is that all about? Take us back to the good old days. You mean back to polio and outhouses? There was nothing good about that, I can tell you. Oh yeah, they talk a good game at election time, but when it comes to helping folks with poisoned water, closing hospitals and childcare, where are they when it comes to actually fixing it? They gavel in and gavel out and go on vacation. It makes me so gosh darn mad. So November 5th, I'm voting a different way. I'm just not going to tell my husband, or my sister, or my garden club, or my Facebook friends, or say anything on the Substack I have about extreme knitting. But I might tell my granddaughters.
Paid for by the Let's Knit Crazy Super PAC.
I'm Betty, and I approve this message.
Completely legitimate, totally real, by the way. Super totally, PAC. Let's Knit Crazy, I think is the name.
I don't mean to correct you, Jane, but I've looked ahead at the program logs, and that puppy's on Up North News Radio tomorrow morning. It just absolutely is.
Did it show up? Oh, wow.
I know a board op who's going to make sure it does. So yeah, it's going to be, that was beautiful.
But I genuinely believe, and the Lincoln Project is out with a brand new ad that is kind of along the same lines about no one knows what you do when you're in the voting booth. You don't have to tell anybody. And it's not just women. I think there's plenty of men too, who aren't going to tell their golfing buddies, who aren't going to tell
their dads.
Who are going to go in and cast a ballot, like Todd has said, using their conscience.
Yeah. You will see more of that. You'll see it in all the old men who have coffee at McDonald's or Caribou Coffee, as I learned yesterday. There's a brand new one here. It's already filled with old men in the morning here. I'm like, where do you guys all come from? But no, some of them are no doubt going to maybe fib a little. I mean, why not? They're lying about their golf game, their dating life, everything else out there.
Good point.
So... well, why not about election day too? Because people more than ever are saying everything is louder than ever, more public than ever, on social media than ever. I'm going to keep things quiet as far as how I'm going to vote.
You don't have to tell anyone. You don't have to tell anybody anything. I have a blog that is related to this. It's not exactly terribly elegant, but if you would like to read it, go to civicmedia.us. Civicmedia.us. Go to our blog area and check out my blog.
Yeah.
It ties into the election related to a summer job I had at Holy Hill.
There you go.
It's kind of a stretch, but let me know what you think. Pat Kreitlow, you can catch him every morning from 6 to 8 a.m. Up North News Radio. Thank you so much, Pat. We will see you next week in Madison.
You're so welcome. See you then. Bye.
News is coming up next. And then when we return, Mary Hayes is rejoining us from the Chequamegon Democratic Party, Bayfield and Ashland counties. We're going to talk about Tom Tiffany and his sudden affection and ideas for the Apostle Islands. We'll have an update that's on the way. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as our What Makes Wisconsin Great tour finds us in Viroqua, Wisconsin, with Trigvi Olsen and Reed Galen. Come on downtown Viroqua and join us on the air.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Will you dress up for Halloween, and what will you wear?
I'm not going to lie, I'm a lazy Halloweener.
A lazy Halloweener.
I just wore a football jersey and call it a day.
I have a prisoner costume, and it goes on over your other clothes, so I'll probably put that on when I take trick-or-treaters. I was never a huge Halloween guy to begin with. Never a huge Halloweener. A new phrase has been coined here tonight.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is the Buzz of the North.
WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.